Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Are you in the market for a reliable pre-owned truck? Look no further than International Used Trucks. International Used Trucks offers a wide selection of Class 6 through 8 trucks with factory-backed warranty options. With 14 locations nationwide and a qualified sales team, they're ready to put you in the right truck right now. Each vehicle is meticulously inspected and reconditioned so you get the quality you need at the price you'll love. Visit internationalusedtrucks.com to browse the inventory. That's internationalusedtrucks.com. With you for the long haul.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
His wife, he's spent a lot of time over in Iraq and Afghanistan. And of course, she couldn't go on those trips, but she's got payback. She had a convention out of country, and Aaron went with her. So I'm sure he's nervous. He hasn't fired me yet. I haven't heard from him. He hasn't called in, but I truly appreciate the amount of work that goes into putting together a radio program. He deserves a pat on the back because this is not easy. You got a lot of buttons to push, a lot of guests to introduce and welcome to the studio or put on the phone. And I'm just one of those that back in the old days, I sat and listened to the radio while I was feeding cattle on the Reberg Ranch. And I'd listen to a fellow by the name of Berg in the morning. And then I'd listen to Rush Limbaugh and Dr. Laura. Both of those are no longer on the air on the station I listen to, but there's a lot of work that goes into putting this radio program together, and I thank Aaron for giving me the opportunity to be the guest host this week. We had a good day yesterday. We did a fundraiser for the Warriors in Quiet Waters, and it was a telethon. I've been involved in telethons before. I did Montana Muscular Dystrophy Association as their president back when I was lieutenant governor, and I didn't bring Jerry Lewis in. I don't know where he is anymore, so I kind of had to handle the hosting myself, but we announced the fact that there was a $10,000 match from an anonymous source of anything we raised over the course of the day, up to $10,000, and I'm pleased to announce that you, the people of Montana that were listening to the program yesterday from 6 to 10 o'clock, raised $16,645. So we met the match and we went over it. And that's a testament to the generosity of the people of Montana. Now's the time that everybody's kind of thinking about giving. It's the end of the year. You're getting hit with a lot of bells with the Salvation Army. I hope to have somebody on tomorrow talking about blood and the blood drive. My wife happens to have one of those blood types that is very rare. She gets called a lot. It usually takes her about 2 hours down at the blood bank to give blood. And I'm trying to work with Kathy over at the local blood bank here in Billings, Montana. So listen in tomorrow, I hope. And we have a fun-filled day, I think. So again, to Aaron Flint, thank you for giving me the opportunity to trust in me with your program. Hope not to get fired today. And if so, I'll be back tomorrow, and that'll complete the week for me. So, again, thank you for listening in, KBUL. And they have an app, so go on the app as well. Good morning.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the region for today. High temperature readings will range from around 50 in Bozeman to about the mid-40s in Billings. For tonight, we can expect clear skies, low temperatures in the mid-20s, and then for Thursday with sunny skies, high temperatures back to around the lower 50s across the area, clear skies into Thursday night. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Securing America.
The U.S. military has had difficulty recruiting over the last several years. But 2024 saw significant improvement. During a Tuesday conversation with the Stimson Center, an international security think tank, the chief of naval operations, Admiral Lisa Franchetti, detailed her branch's increases over the last year.
We actually exceeded our recruiting goal, and we had actually raised our recruiting goal. So we recruited over 40,600 brand new sailors.
Franchetti says that the increase is due in part to the U.S. military as a whole trying to better understand the individuals they want to recruit.
And I think they really want to be part of a team. They want to understand the why behind what they're doing.
She says the Navy has also focused extensively on improving housing
and making sure that people have an opportunity to separate their work life from their home life.
And that the overall goal is,
what does it look like to be a world-class employer of choice, and how do we get there?
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Produced by U.S. taxpayer expense.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, good morning. Obviously, it's not Aaron Flint. It's former Congressman Denny Rehberg, Lieutenant Governor, and former state legislator. I have on the air with me today Tom Birmingham. Unfortunately for Tom, I was a newbie on Monday and never been a radio talk show host before, so I didn't really know what to do, and we hit all the wrong buttons, and Tom was kind enough to call back in today. Tom was the first person I started working with as a new government relations person in Washington, D.C., although I worked with Tom a long time before that. He represented 600,000 acres of irrigated farmland in Southern California, which is the largest irrigation district in the nation. And Tom's claim to fame, for those of you who would agree with him, he never allowed Brussels sprouts to be grown at Westlands. Welcome, Tom. Good to have you.
Good morning, Denny. Thank you for having me.
Well, Tom, I can't remember how many years you worked with the Westlands and the almond farmers, the pistachio farmers, lettuce, tomato, and such. Why don't you give a little bit about your history and why you were active in Washington, D.C., working on things like the Endangered Species Act and the Delta Smelt, which I call a Latin for ugly fish.
Well, you and President Trump would agree on that characterization. It's interesting that President Trump, when he was in his first term, and actually more recently on the campaign trail, made several references to the Delta Smelt as an example of how environmental policy may have gone in the wrong direction. But I was worked for Westlands Water District in one capacity or another for approximately 35 years. To 20 of those years, I was the general manager of the agency. And the reason that I was involved was I felt strongly, still feel strongly, that what the farmers in the Central Valley of California do is important not only for the state of California, but for the nation. California, as you know, Denny, produces over two-thirds of the fresh fruits and nuts that are consumed in the United States.
Mostly nuts, by the way.
Well, mostly nuts. But, you know, a third of the fresh vegetables account for the nation come from California. But the district that I managed received the water from the Central Valley Project, which is a federal reclamation project. It delivers water from a number of very large dams and hundreds of miles of canals to millions of acres of farmland in California. And over the course of the last three decades, the water supply for those farmers has diminished, in large part because of actions taken to protect species like the Delta smelt. And unfortunately, despite all of the actions that have taken and despite literally millions of acre feet of water that have been dedicated to this fish, the fish has continued to decline. And so our efforts in Washington really were related to, is there some way that we can do better, not only for the farmers, but for the fish itself? And so we had the privilege of working with you when you were in Congress, as well as when you were an advocate in government relations, to try and enact new laws and regulations that would help supply more water to farmers, as well as to actually protect this fish.
Tom, one of the things I had heard and you've mentioned in the past is that they were introduced into that area. They may not have been naturally a part of the ecosystem in California. Is that true or not?
Well, I've heard a lot of people debate that issue. The fishery agencies, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, as well as the United States Fish and Wildlife Service, have maintained that the Delta smelt, which is a small fish, as an adult, it's anywhere from 2 to 3.5 inches long, is a native species to California, and it is protected under both the Federal Endangered Species Act as well as the California Endangered Species Act. But there have been people who have maintained that it's an introduced species, but that position has been rejected by the fishery agencies, and it is regulated. And I think that the bigger question, Denny, is regardless of whether it's introduced or not, we have seen the economy of the state of California, the food supply of the nation, impacted significantly by efforts taken to protect this species. And those efforts have failed. As an example, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife has for a number of decades, since the mid-1960s, sampled the population of this species in the fall. And the last time the agency was able to find fish in the wild was in 2017. And in that year, they found a total of 2 fish in the Sacramento-San Joaquin River's delta where the fish exists.
And how many square acres is that, just to put it in perspective? 2 fish.
Oh, the delta is about 700,000 acres, so it's a very large geographic region. It's as the name suggests, it's a complex of waterways that drains the Sacramento Valley and the San Joaquin Valley into San Francisco Bay and then ultimately the Pacific Ocean. But it's a very large area, and this fish has disappeared. And there are lots of reasons for the decline of the species, and no one would dispute that the projects have.
Tom, as you can hear, unfortunately, we've run out of time. I thank you for joining us
this
today.
This is the Montana.
You're welcome. I hope it was.
Right now, I'm sitting on an IKEA chair, tapping on the keyboard of a Dell laptop. My internet service comes from T-Mobile. My clothes were delivered by Amazon. In a moment, I'll drive to my office in a car made Hyundai and burning gas that was refined by Exxon. I say this not to collect product endorsement fees from all those companies. Hey, that's a great idea. But to point out a simple fact. corporations, yes, out-of-state corporations, have made our lifestyles possible. Ever since the demise of Anaconda Copper Company decades ago, Montana has been a state that professes a distaste for corporations, or big business, or whatever you want to call them. And since we're not home to many large companies, that disdain is directed out-of-state. But the fact that so many of the goods and services we consume every day are made by corporations we disparage is not the triumph of evil that some make it out to be. It's a story of success, of larger companies taking advantage of size and scale to turn out cheaper, better, more standardized products that we can afford. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. President-elect Trump's nomination of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to preside over Americans' health continues to raise questions about what he would focus on if confirmed. Kennedy believes that the American diet is rife with poisonous additives and chemicals that are making people sick and fat, and that we would do well to follow Europe's example. Take the Big Mac. You assume the health values would be the same everywhere, right? No. The U.S. Big Mac has nearly 100 more calories than the UK version, 42% more fat, more carbs, but about half the sodium. A can of baked beans sold in the UK has 30% fewer calories than its American rival and a quarter of the fat. It also has significantly less carbs. Not every product tells the same story, though. For example, the UK's Skippy peanut butter has more calories and sugar than the U.S. version. The U.S. allows some 10,000 additives overall compared to just 300 by the European Union. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, we raise a lot of barley out here in Western Ag Network country. And this week, here in Great Falls at the Montana Grain Growers Association Convention, we were able to visit with an officer of the National Barley Growers Association. And our coverage is brought to you by Helena People Products Knowledge. For more information, visit HelenaAgra.com. Mitch Conan is the National Barley Growers Association's vice president from Fairfield, Montana, and talked with me about their legislative priorities for 2025.
Making sure we got a good, strong safety net program with the insurance programs and whatnot. And that's the big thing, is the insurance programs. We can grow good crops and we can get good prices and whatnot usually every other year, but you know, we get them off chances of bad weather, and then that hurts us because it basically there's only the feed market to fall back on, and that puts an extra amount of crop into that area too, so that helps depress those prices. So we're really good at growing ourselves out of a market.
Bottom line, folks, no barley, no beer. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Need the perfect gift for the farmer or rancher on your list? Give the gift to Farm Bureau. A Montana Farm Bureau membership offers Montana Farm Bureau's monthly quarterly magazine, monthly producer newsletter, representation in Helena and Washington, D.C., networking, and a whole lot more. Plus, Farm Bureau membership benefits mean big savings on a wide range of goods and services. Know someone who's already a member? Give them a Century Club upgrade. Learn more at mfbf.org. Montana Farm Bureau. We care for the country. Join us for the Montana Stock Growers Association's annual convention, December 4th through the 6th in Billings. Celebrating 140 years, stock grower members will come together to discuss important issues and make decisions that'll determine their statewide policy. Hear industry-leading speakers like Chief Meteorologist Brian Bledsoe, Greg Dowd giving a market outlook, and even Neville Spear discussing profitability. It's a cattle industry event you don't want to miss. For more information and to register, please visit mtbeef.org. Well, according to AgriPulse this morning, a federal judge in California has vacated USDA's 2020 rule exempting genetically engineered plants from regulation, which could significantly delay approval of crops engineered with traits to resist herbicides. The judge said APHIS's so-called secure rule didn't address concerns raised in scientific papers, including a review by the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine of the risks of GE crops. USDA didn't respond immediately to a request for comment. Now, the department could seek a stay of the order from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And finally, some lawmakers in this lame duck session of Congress want to include specific provisions to help commodity farmers who were hit hard by a disaster in any potential disaster aid packages. Farm Policy News says while many growers weren't hit by disasters like hurricanes and wildfires, they have experienced significant price decreases for their commodities. Congress also has to deal with another potential shutdown and is said to be looking at another short-term extension that would put most major funding decisions into fiscal year 2025 for the new Congress and, of course, President-elect Donald Trump. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, good morning. This is not Aaron Flint, the former Congressman Denny Reberg filling in for him today. I probably could do a whole program on farming and ranching because that's what my background is. My family first got to Montana in the 1860s. My great-grandfather, who I grew up with, ran away from home at 9, moved up to Cascade, and then eventually at 11 ended up at Fort Assiniboine breaking horses. If any of you have been to the Stafford-McClellan Ferry on the Missouri, my great-grandfather had a ranch on the north side. My great-grandmother, who passed away when I was in college, lived on the south side. She was a McClellan and eventually made their way to Billings, Montana, opened up the Midland Guernsey Dairy. I'm looking forward to today. I have about 300 acres of grain on my ranch, a farm. I am a member of Farm Bureau, so I'm having Cindy Johnson come back in later on, maybe tomorrow, to talk about a postmortem on what happened at the Farm Bureau convention. I was a stock grower. My wife's uncle was Mon Stegen, had a big ranch between Winnet and Grass Range, and he represented the stock growers for many years. So I have a long history in agriculture. It's really important for the ag industry to communicate with their congressional delegation now because none of the four people that are back in Washington representing us came out of the ag industry. And so my caution to the Aggies that are listening to the program today, make sure you communicate. They can be friendly to our industry. They're interested in what's going on in the farms and ranches around Montana and the economies that are created by those farms and ranches. Most recently, I was in the goat business. I bought 600 cashmere goats out of Texas, brought them to Montana, and raised cashmere for the purposes of shearing them, spinning, dyeing, weaving. And I worked with Montana Knits out of Dillon, Montana, to sell product through Lord & Taylor and Saks Fifth Avenue. Ultimately, when I became congressman, I had to find a partner because I obviously could not herd goats on my ranch. They're a herding animal. So I found a partner, a great partner, out of Helena, and eventually built the herd up to about 24 to 2,800 breeding does. So we had a lot of goats out there. Luckily, the congressmen and senators didn't call me a goat farmer. They called me a goat rancher or the goat man. I'm probably most recently the only person in the goat business in the state and in Congress. So I want to thank the ag industry for all that you do for us, because if it wasn't for the various parts of the ag industry, Montana would not be as successful as it is, and people wouldn't be moving here like they are. So, again, thank you to the Aggies, and thank you for letting me be a part of your day today.
Welcome back to the Aaron Flint Show. If you're inclined, please access their app at KBUL, and you'll have an opportunity to listen to the program that occurred on Monday and Tuesday. Tuesday, we had a fundraiser, a telethon for Warriors in Quiet Waters. When I say quiet, they're not the ones that advertise a lot, but they're very successful. They have 1,000 alumni. They're perhaps a holistic approach to veterans, helping them with mind, body, and soul. They're out of Gallatin, but they help people all the way from Texas to Montana, and currently they do ice fishing in North Dakota, and their issue is to try and help veterans cope with coming back from Iraq, Afghanistan, Kuwait, and such. It's a great organization. We had a telethon yesterday for Warriors in Quiet Waters. We had an anonymous source that was willing to give up to $10,000 for anything we raised during the day. And I'm proud to announce we raised $16,645 towards their effort. It costs about $18,000 a veteran. It's not a short-term thing. It lasts about 2 years. They bring them in. They have a conversation with them at the ranch in Gallatin County. They take them archery hunting. I heard one group talk about the fact they went up into the Bob Marshall. The lady I talked to did not get anything. The gentleman that went up said he saw one and it took off before he had a chance to shoot at it. They have had successes, but they also do fly fishing on the Smith and down at the Bighorn and such. It's a great organization. We have a lot of exciting people today. The next group is going to be making their way into the studio. We're in the top floor of the former Sheraton Hotel, now called the Doubletree. We're on the 23rd floor. They're going to make their way up because the stock growers are in town meeting for their annual convention. As I mentioned in the last segment, I was a stock grower. I don't belong now just because the restaurant industry took a little bit of my money over the course of COVID, having to shut down our dining rooms and having difficulty hiring people after COVID ended because the government was paying people not to work. And the nature of employment throughout Montana and the nation has changed. You think of all the things that occurred under Mr. Fauci. I hope the Trump administration does the right thing and investigates what went on during COVID, because in my mind, it was a crime, the things they did, especially to our students who were left at home and couldn't learn appropriately. And I've got examples of times in Montana where they did the same thing. Malta, when their school burned down, the reservations. And so I hope the Trump administration takes a look at what happened in COVID. But we'll be back pretty soon. We'll be talking with the Montana Stock Growers Association.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, good morning, Montana. 6:39. It's early. It's cool around the state of Montana, and obviously this is not Aaron Flint. This is former Congressman Denny Rehberg. I was lieutenant governor and state legislator, and Aaron was kind enough to ask me to fill in for him while he is out of country. Aaron travels over to the Middle East quite a bit, whether Kuwait or Afghanistan as a National Guardsman. He's in the soup. He's actually on the field, in the ground, on the ground. Not a somebody that's taking notes or interviewing folks like he does on a daily basis in Montana on Aaron Flint's talk show. But he's the real thing, and I thank him for giving me this opportunity and not firing me so far. I'll be on today, and I'll be on tomorrow. Originally, I was going to have the stock growers in. They're in town. They're in the building. I don't know where they are. Maybe they're either putting their cowboy boots on or taking them off. I was a stock grower, a grain grower, a member of the Farm Bureau. And it's actually kind of interesting. When my baby was a brand new, I told Jan if she had one more baby, I'd never run for office again, which turned out to be a lie because after 18 months, I filed for Congress and went back to Washington, D.C., but I kept the baby on the ranch with me. She was in the Kelty Kid Pack, traveling around with me on the horse, and while I fenced, it was a little inconvenient, but that's what parents do when you're raising kids. And she's now 26 years old, has her own baby, a two-year-old and a three-month-old. So the reason I tell that story is the Farm Bureau had never been outside the city of Bozeman with her convention. I tried to talk them into moving to Billings, and we had an organizational meeting in Billings. And I left the ranch, came down with my bassinet, set the baby down, and we had the meeting. And every once in a while, somebody from the Farm Bureau will mention the fact that I brought a baby to a meeting. We were successful in moving the convention every few years out of Bozeman to Billings, and it's been very successful. They had their convention here about 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to have Cindy Johnson, who's the president of the Montana Farm Bureau, come in and give us a postmortem, tell us a little bit about agriculture. I always want to thank Russell Nimitz. He does a great job in advertising and reporting what's going on in agriculture. And as I traveled the world, I was on what was called the Foreign Ops Committee. So I had to sit across from Hillary Clinton on occasion. We had food programs throughout the world. Obviously, security issues as well. It was Foreign Affairs and the State Department. And the GMO issue that he was talking about was a big one. And what I didn't understand about GMO was the fact that the people around the world were opposed in many ways to GMO, genetically modified organisms. And it's a problem because it can be grown well and cheaper. And when I go to places like the Sudan, Darfur, the Congo, which I traveled to as well, I was always amazed at the fact that they were starving. They didn't have food like we have in abundance in America, because they were against GMO. And it turned out the reason was they didn't want the competition. They wanted to be able to buy the product in Europe and not from America, a cheaper source, and actually feed their people. And so politics is involved in the food production as well. Another issue I got involved in was a country of origin labeling. At one time, I was very much for country of origin labeling. It was born, raised, and slaughtered. We learned a lesson. You didn't say slaughtered because the people in New York and San Francisco were offended by those terms. So we said born, raised, and processed. But I found out the hard way that Montana brings a lot of cattle that are born in Canada across the border into feedlots in Malta and Glasgow and Glendive and such. And all of a sudden, it put us at a competitive disadvantage on the international market. So while born, raised, and processed sounded like a good idea, it actually hurt us financially in Montana. And my opinion changed. I realized that congressmen don't know everything. You listen to your constituency. And it was the stock growers who made it plain to me that born, raised, and processed may not have been a good idea as far as the labeling was concerned. That'll play importantly in the whole tariff issue with President Trump. I think I support tariffs because I don't want our products necessarily to be dumped from China or Mexico or Canada. I know it's going to be a political issue, but that's why you join organizations. You can't know everything. The newspapers aren't doing what they used to do. They don't have the Chuck Johnsons at the Tribune or the Jim Gransberries in Billings. The whole nature of the way we receive information has changed. Social media seems to have taken over the source of income for us. And so you join organizations like the Stock Growers, the Farm Bureau, the Grain Growers. You can go on down the list, whether it's the Chamber of Commerce, the Home Builders, the Realtors, on and on and on. You join those organizations for information, like-minded people. They may have a special interest. You have to recognize that they may come at it from a position that sometimes sounds good, sometimes you have to question. But it's important to join organizations like those, whether it's your local Chamber of Commerce, there's the bankers, there's even a nurse, anesthetists are organized, and nurses and doctors and hospitals. They all have organizations that look at things that occur at the local level, at the state legislature, and at the federal level. It's important to join those organizations, whether it costs you a little bit of money or not. And it's kind of hard to belong to as many as you want to, but it really is key to know what's going on. So I would just say join. There's strength in numbers. Not every organization you'll agree with, but it's pretty important to be a part of that. Interesting what's going on in Washington right now. Of course, I was a major part of that. I was first elected in to go to Washington, D.C. in 2000 with George Bush Jr. And I rolled in on January 3rd of 2001. I thought I was going to pay attention to the three committees I was on, which was transportation, subcommittees of highways, and aviation. I was particularly interested in bringing airlines into Montana, giving Montana more choices besides Essential Air Service and then your major carriers that you know of, Delta and American and such. But September 11th happened, and it seemed like I spent the majority of my time on the aviation subcommittee dealing with aviation security, TSA, and such. I was also on the Ag Committee, which had to deal with the Farm Bill, which comes up every few years. That's where I got to know John Thune, who's now the Majority Leader in the United States Senate. He sat behind me. John's going to be a great Majority Leader in the Senate. But I worked on issues. I was the only congressman who was on two subcommittees having to do with forestry, and that's important to the some parts of eastern Montana, certainly the western part of the state. And then I was on Resources Committee, Energy and Minerals, for the very reasons that oil and gas is so important to the people in the state of Montana. It soon became obvious to me, as the only congressman from the state of Montana representing 140,000 square miles. People were always shocked when I told them that I represented the district the distance of Washington, D.C. to Chicago. And there were congressmen that had 15 square blocks in New York City. They all lived up and down on top of each other, but I had over 140,000 square miles in Montana that I should be on appropriations so I could deal with everything, defense, nuclear issues, energy and water, foreign operations and such. So I asked to get off those other three committees and be put on the appropriations committee. So for the last few years that I was in Congress, I served on appropriations. I chaired the Committee on Health, Human Services, and Labor, those departments. It was fascinating work. My budget was the second largest in all of Congress, $845 billion a year. And so I just thank the people of Montana for having the confidence in me, of allowing me the opportunity to represent them, I hope, the way they deserve to be represented. Again, this is Denny Reberg, a former U.S. Congressman, state of Montana. I'm filling in this week for Aaron Flint while he's off traveling with his spouse, which good for him. Thank you, Montana, and thanks for listening.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Joe Biden was in charge of the billion. You're not getting the billion unless you fire the prosecutor investigating his son and the company that's paying him millions for no experience. And son of a B, they did it. And then the phone call from, I think it was Dubai or Qatar somewhere, that, you know, Hunter Biden with Burisma executives, and they called Joe Biden in the White House. And then Joe Biden yeah, is actually at dinner with some of Hunter's former business partners, but he never one time ever talked to his son about the foreign business deals. And then all the trips and visits to the White House that took place, you know, under when he was vice president. I don't think any of this is covered under presidential immunity either, because he wasn't president.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle, unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. And right now you can try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Right now I'm sitting on an IKEA chair, tapping on the keyboard of a Dell laptop. My internet service comes from T-Mobile. My clothes were delivered by Amazon, and the moment I'll drive to my office in a car made Hyundai and burning gas that was refined by Exxon. I say this not to collect product endorsement fees from all those companies, hey, that's a great idea, but to point out a simple fact. Corporations, yes, out-of-state corporations, have made our lifestyles possible. Ever since the demise of Anaconda Copper Company decades ago, Montana has been a state that professes a distaste for corporations, or big business, or whatever you want to call them. And since we're not home to many large companies, that disdain is directed out-of-state. But the fact that so many of the goods and services we consume every day are made by corporations we disparage is not the triumph of evil that some make it out to be. It's a story of success, of larger companies taking advantage of size and scale to turn out cheaper, better, more standardized products that we can afford. I'm Patrick Bunke.
Brought to you by
in Shiloh Crossing and in Rimrock Mall.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, Reberg filling in for Aaron Flint this week. I wish I could throw my voice and actually sound like Aaron. He's a great individual that has really built up a business, and so far he hasn't called me and fired me yet. Hope he's able to take a few days off. He's been to Iraq and Afghanistan many times now, representing us on the field through the National Guard. And this is one of those trips his wife said, you're going with me to one of my conventions. So he is off this week, and he'll be back in on Friday. You'll probably be glad of that. But again, this is former Congressman Denny Reberg. I got an interesting message from Right On John in Bozeman, Montana. He said, Denny, considering the negatives of COVID-19 vaccines and Monsanto with their genetically modified grains, what are your thoughts about how the new modified products farmers grow will pass scrutiny because very few trust what they are told to be safe? That's a good point. You know, when I think about Fauci, I'd like to have him in front of me right now in a congressional hearing saying, what were you thinking? Think of what you did to America with some of the information you were putting out. It started, of course, under Donald Trump, but Donald Trump never would have kept the government closed as long as it did. I would like to think that the bad information that the NIH put out would not have occurred. When I was in Congress, I was the chairman of the Labor, Health and Human Services and Education Department's budgets, appropriations. It was called Labor H. Back in Congress, they called the subcommittee chairman Cardinals. I don't know why. The chairman of the full committee of appropriations was not called the Pope, but I was one of the Cardinals. I chaired the subcommittee on labor, health and human services, education. So my budget was about $845 billion a year. Although I only really had control of about $155 billion a year, the rest was Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid, Obamacare. Actually carried the legislation to try and defund much of what was wrong with Obamacare. But when it comes to GMO, as I traveled the world and I was on the Foreign Ops Appropriations Subcommittee, I wasn't chairman, but I was on the Foreign Ops Committee, I had the opportunity to go to places like the Congo, Uganda, Darfur in the Sudan. And one of the things I noticed was their people were hungry. They didn't have enough food. And GMO would have fulfilled an area within their food chain that couldn't be filled because the other products were much more expensive. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have to be ever vigilant in the GMOs and make sure that people are held responsible. So I'll go back to my conversation about Fauci. Is Fauci benefiting financially from things that he oversaw? I believe so. And so that it's the Congress's responsibility to oversee what's going on with the executive department. And there are three distinct departments or groups. It's the judiciary, the legislative, and the executive. I was lieutenant governor. I didn't like it because I didn't work well with bureaucrats. That sometimes it was very difficult to move the ship of state, very slow. That's not my personality. My personality is one of trying to build coalitions of like-minded people to ultimately change laws and kind of tell the bureaucrats what they're supposed to do. That's why I'm excited about the Trump administration. I can't wait for his agencies to get put back right after the Biden administration. And we'll talk a little bit about that more today. Again, thank you, Montana, for giving me the opportunity to speak with you as Aaron Flint's replacement.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
The anger and frustration that Democratic lawmakers feel against Joe Biden for his pardon of his son Hunter and the inherent lies is captured by the speaking out of president of their own party. They are upset. All these Democrats, Colorado Congressman Jason Crow, he promised he would not do this. I think it'll be harder for us going forward when we talk about upholding democracy. Washington Congresswoman Marie Glusenkamp-Perez, the president made the wrong decision. No family should be a love of the law. Colorado Senator Michael Bennett said Biden put personal interest ahead of duty and further erodes Americans' faith that the justice system is fair and equal ahead of his responsibility to the country's Vermont Senator Peter Welch. President Biden's pardon of his son is, as the action of a loving father, understandable, but as the action of our nation's chief executive, unwise. That's tough to do. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.